content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is The Berenstain Bears and the Easter Parade. And it's from a book called The Berenstain Bears Spring Storybook Favorites. Of course, by Jan and Stan Berenstain themselves, along with Mike Berenstain, who I think is their son. Anyways, here we go, the Easter Parade. It was the first day of spring in Bear County. The last patches of winter were melting, the last patches of winter snow were melting in the sun. The first spring flowers were poking up with their brightly colored heads. Robins sang in the green budding trees, and at the family bear family's treehouse home, the kitchen window was wide open. Papa Bear sniffed the fresh air as he read his neighbor his newspaper at the breakfast table. Looks like Mama's making pancakes back there. "Look at this," he said, holding up the front page. "Mayor Honeypot says that Bear County will have an old-fashioned Easter parade this year. There will be prizes for the best-dressed family. All are invited to attend in their brightest and fanciest spring dresses and hats." "Well, that sounds like fun," said Mama. "It would be nice to have a reason to dress up in something special for a change." "You said it," said Sister. "I can wear a big Easter bonnet with all kinds of fancy frills and bows and feathers." But Brother Bear wasn't so sure. He was happy wearing his plain red shirt and blue pants every day. "Oh, what's the matter with our regular clothes?" he said. "Why do we have to get dressed up?" "Oh, don't be a stick in the mud," said Sister. "It's fun to do something different once in a while." "I don't think so," said Brother Bear. "I like things to be the same." "But we wear the same kinds of clothes every day," said Sister. "Don't you get tired of that?" "Nope," said Brother. "That way I always look like me." Sister sighed and rolled her eyes.
I would like to get out my fancy old duds," said Papa. "Remember the clothes I wore when we got married, my dear?"
"Yes, I do indeed," said Mama. "You look very handsome."
"I bet they're still up in the attic," said Papa. "Let's go take a look."
Papa led the way. Even Brother wanted to see what Papa looked like in his fancy old duds. The attic was full of all kinds of things the Bear family was saving. Papa Bear opened a big, dusty trunk.
"Here it is," said Papa, pulling out his old suit jacket and putting it on.
It was a little moth-eaten and much too tight. When Papa tried to close it, a button popped off and shot across the room.
"Whoa there, buddy," said Mama. "You were going to put someone's eyes out."
Sister poked around in the trunk and found a fancy hat. She put it on and looked at herself in a cracked mirror.
"That belonged to Grizzly Gran when she was young," said Mama.
"It's beautiful," said Sister, "but it is sort of falling apart. Bits of ribbon and feathers were coming off."
"These fancy clothes look very nice," said Mama, "but I don't think we can wear them in the Easter parade. They're just too old. We have to go out and buy brand new outfits."
"Oh, no," Brother groaned. "Clothes shopping, boring."
"Speak for yourself," said Sister, heading downstairs. So, in spite of Brother's moans and groans, they all got into the family car and headed to the Bear Country Mall to buy new things for the Easter parade. The mall was full of bears, busily shopping for spring clothes. Mama led them into a big department store.
"May I help you, madam?" asked a clerk.
"You certainly may," said Mama. "My whole family needs new clothes for the Easter parade." The clerk called for help, and soon Mama, Papa, Sister, and even Brother were trying on new clothes. They all looked splendid in their new Easter outfits, but Brother didn't think so.
"I look so silly," he muttered, looking in the mirror.
"Well, I think you look very handsome," said Sister. "Ugh," said Brother. As they drove home with their car full of boxes and bags, Brother was still grumpy and frowning. "Come now, Brother," said Papa. "I'm sure you'll feel different on Easter Sunday when everyone in Bear County will be dressed in their finest for the big parade." "Humph," Brother said. Papa sighed and rolled his eyes. Easter Sunday soon arrived, and after church and a nice little Easter candy, the Bear family got ready for the parade. Brother was very unhappy about having to wear a tie. "I can't tie this thing," he growled. "Well, I'll show you how," said Papa. "Around and around and up and through." Soon they were ready. "My," said Mama, looking over them proudly. "What a beautiful family I have." "My tie is too tight," complained Brother. Mama sighed and rolled her eyes. When they drove into Beartown for the start of the parade, it was quite a sight. Hundreds of bears, and all in their Easter best, lined Main Street. Mayor and Mrs. Honeypot were up on the reviewing stand to pick out the best outfits. A brass band came marching by. Officer Marguerite directed traffic. Chief Bruno was dressed as the Easter Bunny and handed out candy. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? The mayor gave the signal for the starting line ribbon to be cut. Everyone streamed past the reviewing stand. The band played an old tune called Easter Parade. When the Bear family marched proudly past, Brother overheard Mrs. Honeypot saying, "Don't they all look darling," she said, "especially that cute little Brother Bear." Brother Bear blushed right through his fur, but he caught sight of himself in the store window. "I guess I do look pretty good," he said to himself. After they had filed past, the mayor called the Bear family up to the reviewing stand and held out a big, shiny trophy. "And the prize for the best-dressed family," said the mayor, "goes to the Bear family." And the whole family cheered and clapped. Brother stepped right up to take the prize. He was very pleased with himself. Thank you, everyone," he said, taking a bow. And the rest of the family just sighed and rolled their eyes. And that is the end of the Berenstain Bears and the Easter Parade. Nice that they won the prize. Now, the reason I'm reading the Easter books is that this month is March, and this year, Easter is at the very end of March, which is very early for Easter. Usually it seems to be in April. But anyways, Easter does move around from March till April. And that's why I read you an Easter Parade story. So anyways, our next book is another thing I missed in February, because we were reading lots of Valentine's Day books. But I missed Groundhog Day. And do you remember what Groundhog Day is? It is a day when the groundhog is supposed to come out of his hole and tell whether there's going to be six more weeks of winter or not. Anyways, let's see. So it would have been on February 2nd. But like I said, we forgot it last night. So here's a fun book about the Groundhog Day. The mayor, and by the way, Groundhog Day is February 2nd again. I think I told you that already, but anyways, here we go. This book is called Grumpy Groundhog, and it's by Maureen Wright. The mayor stood before Groundhog's door and heard a rumbly-tumbly snore. "Groundhog," he said, "you're sleeping late. This is no time to hibernate." The people added with a shout, "It's Groundhog Day. Come out, please come out." The mayor pleaded, "I'll ask once more. And won't you open up this door? Please come out and greet your friends. Groundhog Day is here again." "I won't come out," the groundhog said. "I'm closing my eyes and staying in bed." I have an idea, said a boy in the crowd. He stepped to the front and spoke up loud. Give him a paper to read in bed. That's it, said the mayor, nodding his head. Groundhog opened his sleepy eyes. The Morning Times, the newspaper, was a nice surprise. The groundhog took a very long time reading that newspaper line by line. The people in town said with a shout, It's Groundhog Day. Please come out. I know what to do, a little girl said. Give that groundhog breakfast in bed.
The mayor dropped to his knobby knees and... Sorry, I missed a page here. The mayor dropped to his knobby knees and begged the groundhog, Come out, please.
I won't come out, the groundhog said. I'm staying here until I am fed.
I know what to do, a little girl said. Give that groundhog breakfast in bed.
They served him food on a fancy tray, coffee and toast, and a flower bouquet.
Groundhog poured coffee from the pot. This coffee, it's good. It's nice and hot.
The people in town said with a shout, It's Groundhog Day. Please come out.
I won't come out, the groundhog said. It's nice and warm in my cozy bed.
He does not want to move. It's because he knows it might be still snowy inside.
The girl yelled, Get him slippers to wear. His bedroom floor is chilly in there.
Of course, said the mayor. Find him a pair. His little tootsies are cold and bare.
The groundhog never had slippers before. He did a jig all the way to the door. He twirled and shouted, Look at me. I'll step outside on the count of three.
The crowd yelled, One, two, three, come out.
Ta-da, he said, looking about. He blinked from the lights and the camera's glare.
A child said, Give him sunglasses to wear.
Hooray, said the mayor, no shadow today. The chilly weather is going away.
The groundhog said, It's a wonderful day. I'll ask the children if they want to play.
Let's make a snowman, the children cried.
Groundhog had fun being outside.
They made a snowman round and fat. And it looked very nice with the mayor's hat.
Whoops, this page is hard to turn. At the end of the day, the groundhog said, It's time for me to go back to bed. I had a fun day with all my friends. When spring comes early, I'll see them again. And that is the end of the grumpy groundhog. And let's see. If the groundhog comes out and sees his shadow on February 2nd, that means there's going to be 6 more weeks of cold winter. It sort of seems like that this year, doesn't it? We've had some very cold weeks already since February 2nd, and we're having some more today and tomorrow. Anyways, because the groundhog did not see his shadow, that meant that winter was going away. So... Anyways, that's the story of Groundhog Day and the grumpy groundhog. Our next book is an Easter book. It's called Pete the Cat and the Easter Basket Bandit. Excuse me. One Easter morning, Pete the Cat discovers his Easter basket is missing. Where is my Easter basket, he asks. And there on his table is I-O-U Easter basket, meaning I-O-U an Easter basket. What is Pete to do? Suddenly, it's a jelly bean on the floor, Pete's favorite. He finds another, and then another, and another. It's a whole trail of colorful jelly beans. Says Peter, I wonder if these will lead to my Easter basket. Pete follows the jelly beans down the street and around the corner to Callie's house. Callie, have you seen my Easter basket? Pete asks.
No, says Callie, who's a little white cat, but I see a trail of candy eggs.
Pete and Callie follow that trail of candy eggs to the yard and across a field to Alligator's house. Alligator, have you seen Pete's Easter basket? Asked Callie.
I haven't, said Easter, says Alligator.
But look at this trail of marshmallow chicks.
And Alligator has an Easter basket, too.
Everyone seems to have one except Pete the cat.
Let's follow this trail.
We should see where it goes, said Pete.
Pete and Callie and Alligator follow the marshmallow chicks around the pond to
Gus's house.
Gus, who is a... I'm not sure what Gus is. He has webbed feet and a tail. He must be a duck.
Gus's house. Gus, have you seen Pete's Easter basket? Asked Alligator.
It's not here, said Gus, although he has his own Easter basket that says Gus on it.
But there are all these lollipops on the ground.
It's the lollipop trail, says Callie. Let's follow it.
So Pete and Callie and Alligator and Gus follow the lollipops out the door and up the path to Turtle's house.
Turtle has his own Easter basket already.
Turtle, have you seen Pete's Easter basket? Asked Gus.
No, said Turtle, but look, there are a bunch of chocolate bunnies leading that way.
Let's go, everyone shouts.
Pete really wants an Easter basket of his own. All his friends have theirs.
Pete and Callie and Alligator and Gus and Turtle follow the chocolate bunny trail to the playground. It goes under the swings and down the slide and around the monkey bars to a colorful little house in a garden.
It looks like the trail ends here, said Turtle.
But before Pete can knock, a door swings open and everyone gasps. What do you think's behind that door?
It's the Easter Bunny.
Easter Bunny, have you seen my Easter basket? Asked Pete.
The Easter Bunny looks sad.
Yes, I have it. Every year I deliver all the Easter baskets, but I never get one of my own. So I borrowed yours, Pete.
The Easter Bunny sniffles. I was going to bring it back soon. I'm very sorry, Pete.
Pete smiles and hugs the Easter Bunny.
That's okay, said Pete. I understand.
Then Pete puts some of his candy into an empty basket. He calls Callie and Alligator and Gus and Turtle all to bring candy from their baskets, too.
Soon the new basket is bursting with treats.
All sorts of good things in there.
And Peter hands the basket to Easter Bunny. It says Easter Bunny on it.
Happy Easter, Pete says. This one is just for you from all of your friends.
The Easter Bunny is so happy.
Thank you so much, everyone, he says, and gleefully eats a jelly bean from his first ever Easter basket.
Pete and his friends promise to make the Easter Bunny a basket every year from now on.
Sharing is the sweetest gift of all, they decide.
And that's the end. That's a really nice Easter book, isn't it? About sharing.
Now, just for fun, we're going to read one more Groundhog Day book. It's called The Substitute Groundhog, and it's by someone called Pat Miller. The day before Groundhog Day, February 1st, Groundhog woke up sick. His muscles ached and his throat hurt so much. Groundhog felt so awful. He went to see Dr. Owl.
You have a bad case of flu, you do, said Dr. Owl. You need hot clover soup and bed rest for 2 days.
How many? Asked Groundhog.
Two, hooted Dr. Owl.
But Groundhog Day was tomorrow.
Groundhog could not let everyone down because he was too sick to do his job.
He tried to think of something. So he made some signs and put up on the trees in the neighborhood. Weather teller wanted.
No experience needed. Apply at the Groundhog Hall, February 1st at 10 a.m. Thanks, the Groundhog. On his way home to bed, Groundhog passed the Hidey Hole Diner. He saw want ads from all the neighborhood animals tacked to a nearby tree. Skunk was looking for a roommate. Again, Mr. and Mrs. Duck were returning north and had their nest for rent. I know what I'll do, Groundhog thought. I'll advertise for a substitute groundhog. So up went his sign. By 10 o'clock, a line of animals waited to try out. Great, said Groundhog with a sneeze. Surely one of you can do Groundhog Day for me. Mole was first. You have to go down my hole, Groundhog told Mole. It's pretty dark down there. No problem, said Mole. My own hole is even darker. Mole got comfortable underground. Now come up and look for your shadow, Groundhog shouted. Mole peeked over the edge. His little eyes squinted. Well, Mole, what do you see? Mole spoke to the tree. Is that you, Groundhog? Groundhog blew his nose. This won't work. I need someone who sees well. I can see well, a voice from overhead came. Groundhog looked up, and he saw Eagle. Eagle swooped down. From that mountain ledge, Groundhog, I can see a bit of owl feather stuck in your fur. I'd say you have been to Dr. Owl recently. Wow, then surely you will have no trouble seeing your shadow, said Groundhog. Climb down that hole, and let's practice. Climb down, said Eagle. He looked at the entrance of the hole. Will there be room enough down there to stretch my wings? He stretched them out, wide. Very, very wide. Groundhog rubbed his scratchy throat. This won't work. I need someone who sees well and is not bothered by small spaces. Bear stepped up next. My own cave is snug and cozy. Great, said Groundhog. Climb down and let's practice. This is perfect, yelled Bear from the hole. It's even more comfy than my own cave. Come out and take a look, called Groundhog. There was no answer. Groundhog poked his head out below ground. Bear, come out and look for your shadow. The only answer was a deep, slow snore. Groundhog was frustrated. He needed a substitute who could see well, wasn't bothered by small spaces, and would not fall asleep on the job. I can do it. Let me try. I can do it. Squirrel bounced up and down to the front of the line. Okay, said Groundhog. Go down the hole, come back up, and look for your shadow. Squirrel leaped in. Whee! And she popped her head back up. Groundhog said, see your shadow? Oh, no, I forgot to look. And down she went. She popped back up again. She popped back down. I keep forgetting to look, Squirrel giggled. She popped up and down some more. This is fun. But what Groundhog needed was someone who would pop up and stay up. By now, Groundhog was feeling even worse. All he wanted to do was go back to bed. Was he ever going to find a substitute? Howdy there, Groundhog. How about giving me a chance? And up stepped a strange-looking creature. My name is Armadillo, she said. You're not from around here, are you? Asked Groundhog. Nope, I'm from Texas, visiting my cousin Badger, she said. But I can do this job. I live in a hole. I see small spaces. I like my shadow just fine. And I will pop up and stay up. Groundhog wasn't so sure. Armadillo was a stranger from far away. And what did she know about the weather here? But she did have all the qualifications for a job. All right, said Groundhog. Let's see how you can do. Groundhog climbed back down into Groundhog's hole. Armadillo climbed back down into Groundhog's hole. She poked her head up and looked around. Sure enough, she saw her shadow. If that happens tomorrow, tell folks that winter will drag on, said Groundhog. But if you don't see your shadow tomorrow, spring will come early. Got it, said Armadillo. I think you're just the substitute I've been looking for, said Groundhog. You're hired. Thanks, said Armadillo, and they shook paws. Then Groundhog climbed down his hole into bed. He sipped warm clover soup. He plumped his pillows and tucked his sore self under the flannel quilt. The next morning, the animals gathered early to hear what Armadillo would say. It was cold and crisp as the sun peeked over the forest. Badger served hot chocolate. Squirrel bounced and cheered for Armadillo. Squirrel flew high above the trees. Muddy the mole looked sleepy, and Bear was still in bed, of course. The animals grew quiet as Armadillo poked her head up and carefully looked around. There on the ground, she saw the shadow of her tiny ears and pointy nose. 6 more weeks of winter, she announced. Armadillo dropped back down into Groundhog's hole. Did you hear that, Groundhog? 6 more weeks of winter. Groundhog groaned from his bed. How you feeling, Groundhog? Armadillo asked. Little better, but I'd feel a lot better if it was spring already, Groundhog said. Spring already, said Armadillo. Say, that gives me an idea. Armadillo found Groundhog's suitcase. Get your gear together, Groundhog. It's already spring in Texas. You can come home with me, she said. Really? Said Groundhog. He imagined himself rolling in warm grass instead of sneezing through 6 more weeks of cold. You bet, said Armadillo. Groundhog jumped out of his bed. He grabbed his teddy bear and his toothbrush and tossed them into his suitcase. I've always wanted to see Texas. Do you think they have cowboy hats in my size? Asked Groundhog. Sure as Texas has a Lone Star, said Armadillo. Together they walked through the cold to the bus station, and their shadows followed them all the way there. So Groundhog is going off to live in a warm place, and he's leaving the animals that like to be in the cold there in the cold, the place where he comes from. I think it's usually up in the state of Pennsylvania. Quick poem from Shel Silverstein, The Snowball. I made myself a snowball as perfect as could be. I thought I'd keep it as a pet and let it sleep with me. I made it some pajamas and a pillow for its head. Then last night it ran away, but first it wet the bed. Anyways, we have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138 or number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.